So we're holding on Hey Umud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We discussed the whole point of that you have to say that when you bring a get from Medina Sayyam, you have to be able to say b'fanenechtam, and the reasons behind it, and so on and so forth. So now, more on that topic about, so we said you have to say b'fanenechtam, just how much of the get has to actually be written in your presence for you to be able to say b'fanenechtam. So the Gemara tells, barhedya boila suya gita, Barhedya, that was his name, was going to be bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's interesting, you know, you have in Brachas, you have the famous story over there with Rava and Abaya, where they kept on having dreams, sometimes the same, many times the same dream they were having, and they'd go to this dream interpreter, Barhedya, and for a while over there, Abaya was paying him and Rava wasn't, and therefore he was being greedy about it and giving good interpretations to Abaya and bad ones to Rava, and it's a whole long story over there. It's possible that that is the same Barhedya as we have in the Gemara over here, maybe, maybe not. Anyway, so he was planning to bring a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Osel kamed Rav Achi, so he came to ask a shayla by Rav Achi to have a mamuna a gittin. Rav Achi was in charge of gittin. In other words, he was in his town. They had appointed the basin of his town had appointed him to be the local expert on gittin. You have, the Gemara mentions in a few places, I think we're going to have it in our Masechta, that anybody who doesn't know all the ins and outs of Gittin and Kiddushin should not be involved with them, because of course, you know, it's very easy to make a mistake, and then there are serious consequences. So sometimes they would have Rabbonim, so actually Rashi says this, that sometimes they would appoint Rabbonim whose job was to be in charge of this kind of thing. So in other words, that was his specialty, is to pass in on these kinds of questions. So Bahedya comes to him with a shayla. And how much of the get do I need to be there for the writing of? Omalei, Rav Achi tells him, Sarach atalamed akol oisvois. You have to be there for the writing of every single letter of the get. But then Barhedya came to Rav Ami and Rav Asi to ask them, and they told him, Loit Tzrichas, you actually don't need to stand there by every letter, not like Rav Achi said. So you're going to think to yourself, okay, so what's the problem? I will stand there for the entire thing, and that way I'll be acting L'chumra, and that way I'll satisfy Rav Achi's opinion. Don't. Nimsa atam moitzi laz, or gittin undershoinim. If you do that, then you're going to cause that people are going to start questioning and casting aspersions on previous gittin, that people are going to say, oh, previous gittin, the person didn't stand there the whole thing, so maybe there's a shayla on them. So therefore, better not to do that. Just do like we're saying, and you don't need to be there for the whole thing. The Gemara continues. This kind of thing, b'chlal, about it comes up an interesting issue in halacha in general about being machmir, where before people used to be mekel. When is there an issue with that versus when are you concerned about being moitzi laz? So there's a good deal of discussion about it. Sometimes we say that it's primarily with gittin, for example, that we're concerned about that kind of thing. We obviously don't want people being moitzi laz and claiming that earlier gittin are possible. But you have different poskim talk about that maybe with other kinds of minhagim as well. It's not so simple to come up with new chumras. It also depends what the basis for the chumra is and so on and so forth. There's a good deal of discussion about a lot of the ins and outs of that. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Another case. Rabbi Baba Chana Icy Gitta. Rabbi Baba Chana was once bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Palga Ichtiv Kameh. Half of the get had been written in his presence. O Palga Lo Ichtiv Kameh. Half of it had not been. Also, the Kameh to Rabbi Lazar. So he comes to Rabbi Lazar and to ask, is that okay? Omalei. And Rabbi Lazar says, yes. Afilu Lo Kosev by Elashita Achas Levada. Elashita Achas Lishma. Even if he wrote only one line in it, Lishma. Then you don't need anything more. Meaning, in other words, so what do we mean? What's the one line? Later on towards the end of our perek, Rashi brings over there that it means, but we don't mean just the first line. Here, Rashi says it just means one line. He doesn't specify which line. Later on in the parak, Rashi gives an explanation that it means the line where the line or lines, plural, whatever, where the names of the husband and the wife are written and other such things that are the essential part of the get. So according to that, then, it would have to be that the shliach would be there specifically for the writing of that part. Tosfos says that no. Even if you only saw them writing the first line, you know already that that means that you can assume that once he started writing that first line, Lishma, he's going to continue Lishma, therefore it's good enough just to see the writing of the first line. Rav Ashi says you don't even need to be there for the actual writing of the first line. Afilo ken komusa, even if all the shliach hears is the sound of the komus. So now Rashi gives the word Cain. Rashi's first explanation is that the word Cain is related to the word tikkun. So therefore it means if he hears the sofer preparing the kolmos, the Cain Megilta, or he hears the sound of the Megillah being prepared, there's a scroll, the piece of parchment, which is going to be used for the get. And then the Rosh also adds, it would have to be then that the Shliach recognizes with the Shliach has a Tvias Ayin, and he recognizes that this is the same sheet of parchment, which eventually gets used for writing the get. The point being, in other words, so that's according to that explanation, just when you hear that the sofer is preparing the pen or preparing the sheet of parchment, and he says that he's doing that in order to write a get lishma, then that's good enough, and you don't need to actually be there for the actual writing itself, because again, once he started it lishma, then we can assume that he's continuing it with lishma. Tosfos points out, now later on in the Masechta, in the second parak, we're going to talk about that a blind person is possible to be a shliach to bring a get, because how could he say, b'fanei nechtam, how could he say it was written in my presence if it wasn't in his presence if he didn't see it? But here the Rosh says, and Tosfos HaRosh, that here actually it would be fine. It's one thing over there. It's a blatant checker to say it was Bafanai when there's no possibility of it having been Bafanai, but here it was in fact at least he was there to see how the quill or the parchment was prepared, and therefore that's good enough. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation, which he prefers, is that it means that the shliach hears the sound of the pen writing on the parchment. He hears the sound. So Rashi explains, and the word kan or kain would be it's an onomatopoeic word. It means like that's the sound when you hear the pen writing on the parchment. It makes a sound like kan, kan, kan. So therefore, and in fact, Rashi brings another gear, so kol kolmasa, meaning the sound of the pen. So according to Rashi's second explanation, then, we're talking about that he hears the sound of the writing taking place. So then that's good enough. Then we know that once he did that, then it would mean that he's continuing Lishma. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rav Ashi. We learn a braisa like the way Rav Ashi said. The braisa is a major
How do you know that how do you know that when he writes with his pen, it just hearing the sound means it's lishma? I don't understand the connection.
In other words, we're talking about that he heard the sofer saying, "I'm getting ready to write." The Rosh explains. Rashi doesn't say it over here explicitly, but the Rosh explains that what we mean is that he heard the sofer saying, "I'm writing this. I'm starting to write this get." Or even according to Rashi's first explanation, "I'm preparing this pen and this parchment in order to write lishma." So therefore, once he already said that it's Lishma, we can assume that he's going to continue that way. As the Gemara is going to say soon, he's not going to interrupt in the middle and go on to something else. So that works. It's true. The Rosh does say, if the Shliach hears only that he hears the sofer saying, "I'm going to start writing a get lishma," but he doesn't hear any sound of the preparation of the quill or of the parchment, or in the second explanation of Rashi, he doesn't hear the actual sound of the writing, then maybe we could say the sofer said that, but he didn't actually get to start writing the get right now. He did something else, and then he's going to get back to it later, and he may not do it lishma. So it would have to be, he hears the sofer saying the words that I'm going to do lishma, and then he hears one of these things to go along with it. So the Gemara says, Tanya Tava Seid Rav Ashi. We learn a Braisa like the way Rav Ashi learned, because the Braisa says, I maybe get me Medina Sayam, person brings a get from overseas, I feel a huba bias for sofa balia, even if he's in the bottom floor of the house and the sofa is on the top floor. Or the other way around, huba aliyah v'sofa babayis, or the other way around, the shliach is on the second floor and the sofa is on the ground floor. Afilu nichnas v'yotze kolayim koloy, or even if he, and we'll see soon in the Gemara who is the he, is going in and out throughout the day, in all those cases, kosher. Then in all those cases, it's kosher, and the shliach can say b'fon a nechta, b'fon a nechta. So we have to figure out, once we figure out what the Braisa means, then we'll understand that this Braisa proves what Rav Ashi is saying. So far we have, in other words, the very fact that he hears from another floor is good enough. But so that's the Gemara asks, who babayis the sofa ba'aliyah? You have to ask, if he's on the ground floor and the sofa is on the top floor, how could he say b'fon a nechtam if he doesn't see the writing? Because it's above him. It's one thing, I guess the Gemara is assuming, if it was the other way around, maybe if the shliach was on the top floor, then he could be looking in through, there'd usually be a hole in the ceiling, a trap door or something, to be able to go from one floor to the other, so therefore you could be looking down through the trap door and watch the sofa writing, but the other way around you can't do. And yet the Brai says, say that's good. El alav, going to shama, kain kumasova, kain regilta. So it must be that's because he's hearing the sound of, it's that he's hearing the preparation of the pen and of the parchment. Or according to Rashi's second explanation, the sound of the pen writing on the parchment. So therefore, and we see that that's good enough. So therefore we see, therefore, that the Brai bears out what Rav Ashi is saying. By the way, the whole thing that we're saying over here, it sounds like then we're saying the point is we have to know that he wrote it Lashma, which that would mean, in other words, that the halacha ought to be like Rabbah, that the primary reason for b'fana nechtam is because is the concern about Lashma. And in fact, there are Rishonim who say that way. The Ravid in particular says that. And that he questions, therefore he questions the Rif who paskins like Rabbah. And the Ramban gives an explanation that even according to Rava, once we said b'fana nechtav, he still has to see the actual writing of the get, and therefore we're saying, so he doesn't have to see the actual writing, he just has to see enough of the preparations for writing the get that now he'll know that it was done l'shma. That it was done l'shma, and that everything was done, and that everything was done correctly. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omamar, now we said in the Braisa, Afilu nichnas v'yotze kolayim kolay kosher, we said that even if he is going in and out all day, then the get is kosher. So the question is, who's the he? Man. Ivleim a shliach, do you mean the shliach is going in and out? Why does the Braisa need to say that? Hashta hu b'vayis v'sofa b'aliyah d'lay chazilei. If you're saying that even when the shliach is on the ground floor and the sofa is on the second floor, d'lay chazilei, the shliach can't even see the sofa doing his work, amret kosher, and you're still saying it's kosher, nichnas v'yotzim b'vaya. Do we need to say that if the shliach is going in and out, if he's there in the same room as the sofa and then he goes out and then he comes back in later, of course it would be kosher. And Tosfos says it can't mean nichnas v'yotze, just in the house, because yotze v'nichnas, or nichnas v'yotze, implies that he's going into the place where the sofa is sitting. Just like you have, for example, in the halachas of kashrus, so mashgiach, for example, we talk about a mashgiach being nichnas v'yotze, and we mean that he's nichnas v'yotze to where the food is being prepared or whatever. So, or where the food is being stored. So the same way over here, it should mean that. So, but then what's the chiddush? If even it's kosher, if he didn't even see the sofa at all, he just heard him, then how much more so if he's yotze v'nichnas into the room where the sofa is? So el sofa. So you have to say then that the braisa means that the sofa is going in and out. Well, the question is pshita. Well, isn't it obvious? Mishum de nichnas v'yotze nipsaline. Why should we think to pass all the get just because the sofa is going in and out? It's not like a get needs to be written in one shot. And the answer is, Lloyd Sricha, yes, the chiddush of the Braisa is, the reason why the Braisa needs to tell us the din, the nofak l'shuka, suppose that the sofa went out to the suite in the middle of writing the get, the osa, and then he came back in. So he didn't just go out, for example, to go to the bathroom or something, or to get a snack. He went out into the marketplace where it's likely that he could have met any number of other people. So therefore, now, Mao de Tema, without the Braisa telling us, you would have thought, in a Shachuna Ashkhe, conceivably you could have somebody else might have met up with him in the street, but Omole, and that other person tells him, write me a get, and now maybe the sofer is continuing the get that he started writing. I'll say he wrote the first line of the get, which is, the first line of the get is going to have things like the date and whatever, that doesn't yet have the names. So now in the middle, the sofer is going to say, you know what, this guy just commissioned a get by me. I'll take the get that I started writing now and I'll write it for him. And then therefore it comes out that it wasn't written l'shma of the original person. So kamash malon, therefore the braisa is telling us that there's no need to be concerned about that. In fact, if the sofer went out in the middle, we still assume that he's going to continue writing the first get that he did lishma, and then if somebody commissioned a get by him, then he'll write the next get after that lishma as well. So we see from the braisa that even that kind of thing works. New discussion now, the Gemara says. Given that we've been saying all this time about Medinas Hayam, so we've been talking about Eretz Yisrael versus the rest of the world. So now, Itmar, we have a discussion of Amiroyim. Bavel, when it comes to the country of Bavel, Rav Omer Eretz Yisrael Gittin, Rav says that Bavel is considered like Eretz Yisrael regarding the Dinim of Gittin, so therefore you don't have to say b'fon a nechtam, when you bring the get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, or within Bavel itself. Shmuel says that Bavel would be like Chutzlaret. Okay, so Tosfos says actually they're only arguing when you're taking it from one Medina to another within Bavel, from one province to another. If it's within the one Medina, then Shmuel will agree that you don't have to say b'fana nechta. As far as from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, that we're going to have on Omid Beis, we're going to have a discussion about that point, whether when you bring it from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, do you need to say b'fana nechta or not? So Tosfos says the whole machlokes would only be when you bring it from one province to another within Bavel. Well, the Gemara says, Lema b'hokam b'flegi. Well, should we say that they're arguing on the underlying point, about that they're arguing on the point between Rabbah and Rabbah? Rav would hold that the problem, the reason why you have to say b'fana nechtam, is because the people there may not be familiar with the din of lishma. The Hani Gemiri, well then the people in Bavel are knowledgeable because there are big yeshivas over there, and therefore there's no concern about that. Now we learned before when it comes to other places in Chutzlaret, there's always the concern that they may forget. But as the Gemara is going to point, as we're going to learn soon, in Bavel they already have from even before Churban Bayis Rishon, when Golas Yechonia came there, they were great Chachamim there, and they continued to be great Chachamim there throughout the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, and even after it, and until the end of the time of the Gaonim. So therefore, there'd be less concern that they might forget as opposed to other countries. So are you going to say that Rav would hold like that? Umar Sov Lefishein Edim Mitzuyin Lekaimoi. Shmuel, meanwhile, would hold like Rava, that the problem is you may not find Edim to validate the signatures. Bahani Nami Lo Shchichi. So if you're going from one province to another in Bavel, then again, they may not necessarily travel enough from one to the other to be able to find Edim. So in that case, then the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel would be identical to the Machlokas of Rabba and Rava. The Gemara says, can't be. Batisperah, how could you think that way? First of all, Har Rabba Islay de Rabba. We already established on Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom that Rabba agrees with Rabba's Svara. Rabba is saying, in other words, there are two reasons for the Takana. One because of Lishma, and the other because Ein Eidim Mitzuyin Lekaimai. So even if you're taking care of the Lishma problem, you still have the other issue to consider. So you can't say that, and again, the proof that we brought that forced us to say that Rabba would agree with that, that proof would exist according to Rav as well. So Rav can't exclusively say that the problem is only Lashma. He has to agree that there's the problem of Edim Mitzuy and Lakaimai as well. So how are you going to understand, according to him, why from one province to another in Bavel you shouldn't have to say it? So he must say, no. Ela Tekula Alma Be'in and Lakaimai. No, we're going to say that both of them agree with Rava's Svara, that the point is that you need Edim L'Kaimai. We're not concerned about Lashma. Rav Sava Kivin de Ikka Mesivta. Rav holds, because in Bavel you have the great Mesivtas over there of Surah and Nahadar, Pumbedisa, wherever they are, Mishkan Shchichi. So the point is not just that they're familiar with the Shema. The point is, Talmidim go from one yeshiva to another to learn. Therefore, Mishkach Shichi. So it'll be easy enough to find people from one part of Bavel located in a different part of Bavel where there they can certify the signatures if necessary. Or Shmuel Saba, Mesivta, Begusayu Tridi. Shmuel holds that the Chachamim of the Mesivtas are busy with their learning and therefore they're not going to necessarily recognize the signatures. So Tosfos explains, Shmuel will agree that within one country, sure, we're not going to say that they're so totaled that they won't recognize signatures of people, they won't be able to recognize signatures of people from their own country. But we're talking about from one country to another, they move from one part of Bavel to another in order to learn in the yeshiva, so therefore they don't necessarily get familiar with the people over there to be able to recognize their signatures. So the Gemara continues. Itmar Nami. Now we have. It was also said that, and we can use this as a proof for what we said that Amar of Abba, Amar of Huna, Asinu Atzmenu beBavel, Ke'eretz Yisrael Legitin. We in Bavel, Rav Huna and Rav Abba, his Talmud, were in Bavel. We have made ourselves in Bavel like Eretz Yisrael, as far as the dinim of Gittin, as far as Befanenechtem, Miki Asa Rav leBavel. Ever since Rav came to Bavel. Now, what happened when Rav came to Bavel? So Rav was originally born in Bavel. When he was at some point in his life, when he was a young man, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He spent a substantial part of his life in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Talmud of Rebbe over there. Eventually, when he was already old, he left Eretz Yisrael and moved back to Bavel. And when he did that, he really rejuvenated Jewish life in Bavel. The Gemara tells us in Cholin, for example, where he came to a place where he found they didn't even know the din of Bas v'Cholav, so he taught it to them and made gzeiros for them. So Rav coming to Bavel and opening his yeshiva over there in Surah became a watershed event in the history of the Jews of Bavel. Like they considered that was like a new era in the history of the Jews of Bavel. So Rashi therefore explains that, it's true that they had yeshivas before that as well. In fact, they had them ever since Yechoniah, 11 years before Churban Bayis Rishon, ever since he and the Chorash v'Hamaskir, which the Gemara is going to tell us at the end of the Masechta, those are the enormously great Talmid Chachamim of that time, ever since they were taken to Bavel, it was a place of Torah. Nevertheless, though, Rashi learns that what Rav Huna is saying is that still, until Rav came, and set up his yeshura, his yeshiva in Surah, and Shmuel set up his in Nahadah. So up until then, they knew about the concept of the Shema, but they didn't have the concept that people are traveling necessarily from one part of Bavel to the other, and therefore they'd still have to say Befanenechta. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos learns rather that what Rav Huna is saying is that, when Rav came to Bavel, he told them, you should know something. Given that Bavel has had for hundreds of years high world-class Talmid Chachamim, ever since the time of the Chodesh V'Hamaskir, all along you could have been conducting yourself like Eretz Yisrael and not having to say Befanenechtem. So it's not that a new din is coming as a result of Rav coming to Bavel, that a new din that didn't exist before, but rather that Rav is explaining to them that you should know this is how it should have always been in Bavel because we have great Talmid Chachamim and great yeshivas over here. In other words, Rav is explaining to them that this is how the halacha should have always been. In fact, Tosfos says, I mean, there were Gemaras that had the girsa Omer of Huna, Omer Rav. Now, Rav himself is not going to say ever since Rav or ever since I came to Bavel. Although Tosfos gives another explanation that maybe it means not Rav as in the individual, but rather once many great Rabbonim and Baalei Torah came to Bavel, then the halacha changed. Because now you have people commonly traveling around from one yeshiva to another. Okay, so the Gemara says, Masiv Rabbi Yirmiya, but Rabbi Yirmiya says, how could you say that? We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, that when we talk about where you have to say Befanenechtem and where not. So we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Merekem Mizrach, from Rechem eastward, you have to, is considered, is a, in other words, any place from there until the edge, and then until the eastern edge of the world, the eastern end of, the eastern edge of Asia, let's say, you would have to say b'fana nechtam, b'fana nechtam. V'rechem k'mizrach, and Rechem itself counts like the east for that purpose. Ashkelon the Jordan, but Ashkelon Kadorim, from Ashkelon southward, and Ashkelon itself is considered like part of the south, because those places also, either, again, you have, they don't know Lashma, or you don't have Eden, Mitzuri, and Lakaima, because they're far away from the major centers of Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael. And may Akko Latsafen, but Akko Katsafen, from Akko northward, and Akko itself counts as the north for that purpose. So now, Bavel pointed to Eretz Yisrael Kaima. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, isn't Bavel north of Eretz Yisrael? As we find that Hashem says in Nevuah to Yirmiyah that from the north the evil will break forth over Eretz Yisrael, meaning that Nebuchadnezzar will come from the north from Bavel and conquer Eretz Yisrael. Bavel is actually northeast of Eretz Yisrael, but based on that pasuk we see, which is why in the Gemara we always have that they always call Eretz Yisrael Ma'arava, and in the Bavli they always call Eretz Yisrael the west, because southwest of Bavel. But based on the pasuk we see that it's mostly north. So anything north of Akko, which includes Bavel, is considered Chutzlaret. So what are you telling me that the Utnan and the Mishnah continues, Reb Meir Oma Akke Ke Eretz Yisrael Gittin, that Reb Meir says that no, Akke is considered like Eretz Yisrael as far as Gittin. But fine, but Afilu Reb Meir Lekoma Elaba Akke de Makarva, even Reb Meir is only talking about Akke because at least it's close, relatively, to the major Jewish towns in Eretz Yisrael. Abel Bavel de Merachaloi, but not Bavel, which is hundreds of miles away. So what are you telling me that Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is, who most of Baba, who Mepharikla, Reb Yirmiyah asked the question, he himself gave the answer. Fine, it means Levad mi Bavel, it means aside from, Levar mi Bavel, aside from Bavel. You're right, the Mishnah is giving us details about Eretz Yisrael, but you should know, aside from that, you have Bavel, which is a separate enclave of its own, and has its own rules. In fact, Tosfos says this is one of the proofs against Rashi's explanation. If according to Rashi's explanation, the din in Bavel was one way until Rav came, and then the din changed, then what is Rabbi Yirmiyah asking from the Mishnah? The Mishnah was composed before that. So the answer must be that Rav is saying that all along this is how the din should have been. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Ad Heichon hi Bavel, how far does Bavel extend for purposes of this halacha? Omer Papa, so the Papa says, K'machloikas l'yuchsin, kach machloikas l'gittin. The exact same machloikas that you have as far as yuchsin is going to be as far as gittin. Meaning, you have in the last parak of Kiddushin, you have machloikas Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechanan, and you have different opinions over there about the details of so you have the Gemara establishes over there in the last parak of Kiddushin that the Jews of Bavel have a much greater, they have much better yuchsin than the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you have various psulei kahal, mamzerim and nesinim and others that got blended in, and nobody knows who's who, and therefore it's very hard to know in Eretz Yisrael whether somebody is a real miyuchas. Whereas in Bavel, they were more careful about that, and therefore they were, their yuchus, as far as marrying Koyanim, or as far as a person marrying into such a family, is much better. So now, the Gemara discusses over there how far does Bavel extend as far as those halachas. So the Papa says, the various opinions over there about how far Bavel extends, towards the south, towards the north, towards the east, towards the west, all of those are going to be the same, those respective opinions will be the same thing over here, as far as B'fana Nechtam, B'fana Nechtam. Rav Yosef says no. Machloikas leyuchsin, that machloikas of Rav and Shmuel primarily, which you have over there in Kiddushin, is only as far as yuchsin. Aval legitin, but when it comes to gittin, divra hakolat arba tinyona de gishra, everybody agrees that Bavel extends as far as the second swamp with willows growing in it past the bridge. So there was a particular bridge that was a landmark over there. Or actually, Rashi over here translates that it just means Arava Shnia, the second willow tree. So there was a known landmark. There was a particular bridge there, someplace over over the Chidekel, over the Pras in Babel, and near it there were growing, and near it there were willow trees growing. So it was a known landmark that at that point, from there on, is not the primary area of Jewish settlement in Babel, and therefore the dinim of Yuchsin, and therefore the high quality Yuchsin are not from there on, and therefore also Rabbi Yosef is saying the din that your potter from saying Bufanin Nechtem would also not extend past there. Okay. The Gemara continues. Rav Chista Matzrich Me'aktisfon Lebei Arishu. Now, there were these two. We're going to talk about now two cities that were on opposite sides of the Chidekel River. The Chidekel runs to the east of Babel. On one side of it, on the western side of it, which is within the province of Babel itself, there was a city called Bay Ardashir, where many Jews lived. And then across the river, across the Chidekel, there was another city called Aktisfon. In history books, it's called Ktesifon, which is about the same thing, which was, where also you had Jews live there, but it's not part of the province of Babel, it's part of a different province. So, Rav Chista would require, when a person was bringing a get from Aktisfon to Bay Audisher, he would require them to say, Bufanin Nechtem. Only Bay Audisher, Aktisfon, my master. But if they were going the other way, from Bay Audisher, which is within the country of Babel, to Aktisfon, then he wouldn't require them to say, Bufanin Nechtem. Now Tosfa says, one second, didn't we learn before that the same way as when you bring from Chutzlar to Teret Yisrael, you have to say Bufanin Nechtem. We said the other way as well, because once you have it one way, then you do it Molech Otu maybe. Why aren't we saying over here the same thing? And Tosfa says, because you don't necessarily, in the end, that was only when we thought that Rabba's reason was based only on Lashma. Now that we know that it's also based on Edom Mitzurin L'Kaimai, then not necessarily do you need to do that. Not necessarily when you bring a get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, should you need to say Bufanin Nechtem, and the same way, not necessarily when you're bringing from Audashir to Aktisfon, and should you need that. And then Tosfos points and just discusses a little bit the geography of it. But that's the point. In other words, these are two cities on opposite sides of the Chidekel, and one is considered part of Babel, and one is not. So the Gemara says, Lema Kasavel Afishen B'Kiyam L'Shma. Are you going to say that means that Rav Chista says that the reason we have to say Bufanin Nechtem is because of Rabba's reason, because people may not be familiar with Lashma, Bahani Gmiri. So therefore, you're going to say that people from Bay Audashir, since they're part of Babel, they're familiar with these dinim, therefore they don't need to. Whereas the other way around, the Jews of Aktisfon may not be as familiar. The Gemara says, V'tispera, how could you think that? V'ha Rabba Islay the Rabba. Again, we've already established that Rabba agrees with Rabba's reason. So even if you don't have to worry about the Lashma consideration, you still have to take into consideration whether Edom Mitzurin L'Kaim, right? And on the face of it, that's going to be the same thing, whether you're going from Bay Audashir to Aktisfon or the other way. So that can't be the reason. Elad Kula Alma Be'in L'Kaim. Rather, you're going to answer again that Rav Chista is, that everybody is going to agree that the reason is because you need Edom to be Mekayim, the signatures. Well, the difference is, Vahani, the people from Bay Audashir, given to Azli, Lashuka, Lahosam, they crossed the river to go to Aktisfon for the market, because the big markets were located in Aktisfon. So therefore, the result is, Kivin Azul, the Shukal Lahasam, they go over there to Aktisfon for the markets. Therefore, Hanach Yadi, Bachsimus Yadi, Dahani, Bahani, Bedahanach Lo Yadi. So what happens, therefore, is the people of Aktisfon are familiar with the signatures of the people from Bay Audashir. Since the people of Bay Audashir come there to do business, and they, for example, they take out loans there when they come there to do business. They take out loans, or they sell things or whatever. And who keeps the shtar? The people of Aktisfon. Therefore, the people of Aktisfon have examples of signatures from people from Bay Audashir over there where they can do that. Bahani Bahana Floyadi, whereas the other way around, the people of Aktisfon are not as familiar with the signature, or the other way around, the people of Bay Audashir are not as familiar with the signatures of the people of Aktisfon. Now, why not? On the face of it, aren't they going to Aktisfon to do business? Don't the people of Aktisfon also sign shtaris in their presence? But the Shukayu Trinity, they're busy with the marketplace over there. They're busy with their buying and selling. So therefore, they don't really pay attention so much to the signatures to notice them, to be able to recognize them. So therefore, that is why. So if you bring the get from Aktisfon to Bay Ardashir, you need to say b'fanenechtem, because otherwise the husband may come to Bay Ardashir and say, one second, these signatures are forged, and you're not going to easily find people from Aktisfon to come and validate them. Therefore, you need the shliach coming from Aktisfon to say b'fanenechtem. Whereas the opposite is not true, because if the get is brought to Aktisfon and the husband starts questioning the validity of the signatures, people from Aktisfon will easily be able to recognize the signatures, because they have in their files plenty of other things that are signed by people from Bay Adishu. So Tosfos distinguishes, by the way, between, we're saying over here, the people are busy with their marketplace and whatever, versus we said that the Bnei HaYeshiva, Shmuel had said before, that the Bnei Yeshivas are so busy with their learning that they don't really become familiar with the signatures of the place where the yeshiva is located. And Tosfos says, because they don't even really end up signing shtaris at all. They're learning in the yeshivas. They don't really come into a situation where they're signing shtaris at all, as opposed to when it comes to here with Aktisfon and Bay Audashir, they at least do sign shtaris, even if they're not as familiar with them. The Gemara continues. Now, what about, here's another city in Bavel that let's deal with the dinim of that. The following three Amiroyim that we're going to talk about all lived in the city of Mechuza, which was also near the Chidetel. It was not far from Aktisfon and Bay Audashir. So now, what's the deal as far as that? Now, it's considered part of Babel. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Rabba Baravua Matzrich Me Arsa La Arsa. Rabbi Barabuna would require that you should say b'fanenechtem when you bring the get from one block to another, from not even from one block really, but from one side of the street to the other side of the street. Rashi describes an arisa is a row of houses on one side of the street. So therefore, so if you're crossing, even if you're just crossing the street in Mechuza to bring a get, then Rabbi Barabuna would say you have to say b'fanenechtem. Why? We're going to see in a minute. Rav Sheshes Matzrich Mishchuna L'Shchuna. Rav Sheshes would require, even when you're going from one neighborhood to another, meaning from one group of houses to another, Rashi explains that in Halacha, Shchuna is considered to be three houses. So even if you're just bringing a get three houses over on the same side of the street, then Rav Sheshes would require you to say, B'fanenechtem, B'fanenechtem. V'Rava Matzrich Ba'oisa Shchuna. And Rava would require you to say b'fanenechtem in Mechuza, even when you're all within the one shchuna, within the one neighborhood, within the three houses. So you might ask why. Rava d'amar l'fishen edim etzuri l'chaimai. Hasn't Rava been saying all along that the problem, the reason that you have to say b'fanenechtem is because you may not find edim to validate it? So why in Mechuza would the din be different? Why would in Mechuza would the din be any different? And Tosfos points out that okay, you could say as far as maybe for some purposes, even though Mechuza is even though geographically it's located in Bavel, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that there were many Gerim in it, so therefore maybe it doesn't have the full status of Bavel as far as these Dinim. So since Rava doesn't hold there's even a problem of Lashma, he holds the problem is only Ein Edim Mitzuri L'Kaimai, so why, according to him, are we more Machmir in Mechuza and than anywhere else? And the answer is Shiny, B'nai Mechuza denied. The difference is the people of Mechuza are constantly moving around from one place to another. They don't stay in their neighborhood, let alone in the city, and therefore, if you have a get that was signed by one of them, it may not be that easy to find people to validate the signatures, because people are always going around and doing business and going from one place to another. Tosfos points from Rabbeinu Tam, a psak, that therefore nowadays you always have to say b'fanenechtem, because also everybody is always moving around. People don't necessarily stay put for any length of time. Okay. The Gemara continues more on this topic. Rav Chanin Mishtoi, Rav Chanin told the following story. Rav Kahana Aisi Gita, Rav Kahana one time brought a get from Chutz La'aretz to, brought a get within Babel. But Rav Chanin says, "V'lo yadayne imi surah v'nahudah imi nahudah l'surah." I don't know whether Rav Kahana was bringing it from surah to nahudah or the other way around, from nahudah to surah. But whatever the case, it was within Babel. Also, the Chamei de Rav, so he came to ask Rav whether he needs to be there for the writing of the get. Omalei, he asked him, "Srichna l'meim b'fanenechta maloy srichna." Do I need to make this declaration or not? So therefore, do I have to be present when the get is being written or not? Omalei loy srichas. And Rav tells him, you don't need to, because like we said before, Babel is like Eretz Yisrael. The E Abdis, but Rav tells him, if you do say b'fananechtem, ahanis, then you will accomplish something by it. So the Gemara says, my E Abdis ahanis, what exactly would Rav Chanan accomplish by saying it? So de'i osi ba'alam arer, suppose that later on the husband comes and objects and claims that the get is forged or whatever, loy mashkichinen bay, once you say b'fananechtem, then that will override what the husband does, and therefore, and we won't pay any attention to what he says. Tosfos actually learns differently in Ksubas, that says that no, if the husband were to say that the get is forged, then yeah, we are going to have kiyum shtaris. All we're saying is if the husband makes some other objections, such as Lashmo or whatever, then we won't worry about him. Tosfos also says over here that the same thing would apply in Eretz Yisrael, that even in Eretz Yisrael, where you don't have to say b'fananechtem, then it helps that in case the husband does try to bring up objections against the get, then we'll say we're not going to pay any attention. And the Gemara says, Kidatanya, and we know that as we learn in a Braisa. It happened once that a certain person brought a get in front of Rabbi Shmuel. He had brought the get from someplace else, and he brought it to Rabbi Shmuel's Beis Din. And the person asked, do I need to make that declaration when I deliver the get or not? So Rabbi Shmuel asked him, Bni, my son, where are you, meaning where are you from, meaning where are you bringing the get from, because that will be where it was written. Now a get usually has the place that was written in it. So the Maharam Shif says apparently Rabbi Shmuel did not actually see the get. Otherwise, he doesn't have to ask. The fact is, in Shulchan Aruch, it does bring two different opinions. Everybody agrees that you need on the get the place where the Edom signed it. It's a machlokas haposkim, whether you need also the place where it was written. In practice, in order to avoid the suffix, they make sure that the get is written and signed in the same location. And that location is what's written in the get. Anyway. So he asks him, where are you from? Omalei Rebbe, Mikfar Sisai, I mean. So he says, I come from Kfar Sisai. That's where I'm bringing the get from. Omalei, so Rebbe Shmuel says, in that case, Tzarech HaFalon, B'fananechtem. Well, then you have to say, B'fananechtem, Shaloi Tizokit L'Edim, and that way this woman will not need Edim to be Mekayim the Shtar and to certify the signatures in case the husband brings up, objections to it. So on the face of it, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that Kfar Sisai is considered outside Eretz Yisrael. But La'acha Sheyotza, after the guy left, Nichnas b'fon of Rabbi Lai. Rabbi Lai came to talk to Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Loi, and he asked him, Rebbe, why did you tell him that he has to say b'fananechtem? Ba'alei Kfar Sisai muvlas b'tchum Eretz Yisrael. It is true that Kfar Sisai is outside the technical borders of Eretz Yisrael, but it is muvlas, as we learned a few days ago, that it's one of those places where the border doesn't run in a straight line, where the border curves, and Kfar Sisai is within one of those curves, within one of those loops. It's like a peninsula of Chutz La'aretz that sticks out into Eretz Yisrael. So it's muvlas, and according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, therefore, it's not necessary to say b'fananechtem from such a place. And you should know also that Kfar Sisai is actually close, even closer to Tzipori, even closer than Akoi. Now Tzipori in those times was a central city in the Galil where many Chachamim and a substantial part of the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael lived in and around Tzipori. So therefore, so Kfar Sisai is actually, and so even Akoi, which as we're going to go on to say, that Akoi, according to the mayor, is considered like part of Eretz Yisrael as far as Gittin, even though Akoi is on the coast, and it's a good distance from the Galil, it's a good distance from the central Galil, where most of the Jews lived, and nevertheless, as we're going to go on to say, the mayor holds that Akoi is considered like Eretz Yisrael as far as Gittin, so Kfar Sisai should be all the more so. So utnan, we learned in the Mishnah, a mayor, I'm actually carried to see all the gifted. Va'afilu rabbanon, like pliy alei de rameir. Even the chachamim, the only reason they disagree with a mayor, ela ba'akoy de merachka, they're arguing only because akoy is far away, relatively, from the main areas of Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael. But Kfar Sisai is closer than akoy. So what's the problem? So aval Kfar Sisai de makarvaloi, Kfar Sisai being closer, there should be no machlokas about it. So why did you say that the guy has to say b'fanu nechtam? Omaloi, so Rabbi Shmuel answers him that, so Rabbi Shmuel answers him, soik v'nish soik, be quiet, my son, be quiet. In other words, don't keep bringing up this objection. Hoyo v'yotza adova b'heter yotza. Once the matter has come out with heter, that, in other words, the point is, what's accomplished, in other words, here is what we're saying before, that even within Eretz Yisrael, even though maybe technically you don't have to say b'fanu nechtam, but if you do, then that accomplishes that now there's a heter, now we know that get is kosher. In other words, if the husband comes and brings up objections, we're not going to be paying attention to him, yotza, then it came out the heter. So in other words, it's still, even though, fine, you're right, I might have been telling him to begin with because I thought that Klausi Sai is too far away, and therefore you have to say b'fanu nechtam, but even now, it still benefits, it still helps us that this way, even in Eretz Yisrael, if the husband were to object, then we won't listen to him. So we see that bears out the point that Rav says to, that Rav is saying to Rav Kahana, that even if technically from Surah to Nahadar or vice versa, you don't have to say b'fanu nechtam, but if you do, you'll gain that, then we'll gain that, that now we won't pay attention to the husband's ear. So the Gemara asks, why did Rabbi Loi even bring up the question? Didn't Rabbi Shmuel say to the person that the only reason I'm telling you to say b'fanu nechtam is so the wife shouldn't require Edim if the husband starts questioning the validity of the get? So Rabbi Loi should already understand that Rabbi Shmuel is not saying it because it's considered Medina Sayyam, but rather because it'll benefit in that case, because it'll forestall any objections of the husband. And the Gemara answers, Loi Saimur Kameh, when they told Rabbi Loi wasn't there in the room when Rabbi Shmuel was talking to the guy. When he came in afterwards, he wasn't told the whole story. He wasn't told the whole answer that Rabbi Shmuel had given the guy. So he thought that Rabbi Shmuel was saying because it's Medina Sayyam, and Rabbi Shmuel was telling him that no, it's not because of Medina Sayyam, it's because it'll benefit that this way the husband can't be ma'arer on the getting. So till now we've been talking about bringing a get within Bavel. What about from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, Shalach le Rav Yosef le Rav Chista. Rav Yosef, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, sent a message to Rav Chista, telling him, Gittin aboy misham lekan, that Gittin that are brought from there, from Bavel, where you, Rav Chista, live, to here, to Eretz Yisrael, where I live, ain't sarach lam b'fanu nechtam. They don't have to make this declaration. So the Gemara asks, Lema Kasavala Fishain Bikim Lashma Bahani Gmiri. Should we say that Rabbi Yosef then apparently holds, is another one who holds like Rabba, that the reason for b'fanu nechtam is because of the problem of Lashma, and we know already we established the people of Bavel are knowledgeable in that, so therefore there's no need to say it. So Rabbi Yosef's din would fit very well, according to Rabba, but on the face of it, maybe not according to Rabba. But again, the Gemara says, like it did before, the Tispara, how could you think that? Behold, Rabba islay the Rabba. We know that Rabba agrees with Rabba's opinion. We know that, we said already that Rabba concedes that Rabba's consideration is a valid one also. So you also need Edom Mitzurin Lakaimo, and you don't necessarily have that from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So how is that going to work? Ela, to call it Amma Be'inim Lakaimo. Again, we can answer, everybody agrees that the purpose of b'fanu nechtam is because otherwise you don't have Edim Mitzurin L'chaim, right? The Kivin, the Iker Rabim, the Salki, the Nachsi, but because you have many people who travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, Mishkach Shtichi, therefore it's easy enough to find people who will be able to recognize the signatures and validate them. However, the Gemara says, Amr of Yosef, Man le Malon, the Rabbi of Yosef bar Samchon. who says that this Rav Yosser is so reliable that if he says this is the din, that we can take it to the bank and we can say that we should rely on him in halacha. So I don't know this Rav Yosser. I don't know how reliable he is. And not only that, in fact, Rav Yosser says, I can show that there's something that he did which shows that he doesn't know halacha. Ha'ihu d'shalach le'le Rav Yehuda. This same Rav Yosser sent one time a message to Rav Yehuda criticizing the people of Bavel, where you had many people from Bavel, would leave their families and go to Eretz Yisrael for a while, sometimes for many years, to learn Torah and leave their families behind in Bavel without any means of support. And Rav Yosef criticized that. He wrote, "Bnei Adam Ha'olim Misham Lakan, people who go up from there, meaning Bavel, to here, to Eretz Yisrael, to learn Torah, Hein Kiyum Ba'atzman, they are fulfilling by themselves an expression in the pasuk. In the original context of the pasuk is the Navi is criticizing the Goyim who've been selling Jews into slavery." Even just for their own physical pleasures, but now Rabbi Yosser is kind of taking that passage out of context and using it to criticize the Jews who are leaving Babel and abandoning their families behind to come learn in Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Vayitnu ayelad bazoina." The pasuk says they gave away a boy for zoina. Vayal b'mochru b'yayin, and a girl they sold for wine. Vayishnu, and they drank. So again, in context, this is the pasuk is criticizing the goyim where they would kidnap Jewish children and sell them to have money to pay off a zoina or to have money to buy wine. Here, Rabbi Yosser is saying that these people. In a way are guilty of that kind of thing. So Tosfos explains the problem is that so first of all, Rashi says they're leaving their wives behind as agunas, so therefore they're preventing period of Avivia. So like as if they're saying like having children is something unimportant. We don't have to be with our wives to have children. So therefore like they're as if they're saying like Jewish children are not so worthy of respect. Tosfos says the vote is they're leaving their families behind, and therefore they're redoushing in the word bazoina meloshin mizoinus. He's using the word bazoina in the sense of mizoinus, that they wind up having to sell themselves into hard labor, or even into slavery, in order to raise money, in order to have food. In fact, Tosfos brings from a Yerushalmi that one time happened. There was a man who really wanted to go learn Torah, but he couldn't afford it. So he sold his daughter as an Oma Hevriya so that he'd have money to go learn Torah. So therefore, Rav Yosef is criticizing people who do that kind of thing. And the problem is, Rav Yosef says, because of Lei Veloy Sirtu. He wrote those words of the pasuk without scoring lines on the parchment first. So we know when it comes to mezuzah, it's a halacha l'moshe v'sinai that you have to do that. You have to draw straight lines on the parchment in order that the writing of the words of the mezuzah should be in straight lines. It's machlokas rishonim whether you need to do that by a sefer Torah or not, and practice all our sefer Torah have that. Tefillin, technically you don't need to. Technically you only need sirtut at most on the top line, but in practice, sofrim usually do it as well, because otherwise it's hard for them to write straight lines. But in general, as the Gemara is going to go on to quote now, when you're writing words of Torah, then you need to have sirtut of some kind. And here, Rav Yosser wrote these words without sirtut. So Tosfos gets into a long discussion about the details of the halachas of that, when you require sirtut, when not. One point is, if it's only if you're writing in Ksav Ashuri, it's not necessarily if you're writing like in the handwriting like we use nowadays, or Siddur letters or whatever, which don't have the same Kedusha. There's also, are you quoting the pasuk in order to douch in it or something? Or are you just using it, as a play on words? There's a number of different dinim like that. In practice, you see that people write words of psukim, and they don't necessarily do sirtut, so they use one or another of these hatatim, that they're doing it only for decorative purposes, for example, or only as a melitza, like as a figure of speech, or they're not using ksav ashuri, etc. Anyway, so the Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, and you should know Rabbi Yitzchok says, Shtayim Kosvin Sholoshein Kosvin, you can only write up to two words without Sirtut, but once you're writing three words from a Pasuk or more, then you need to do Sirtut. V'masnisetana, and in a Braisi you learn, Sholosh Kosvin Arbaein Kosvin, you can write three words without Sirtut, but four you already need to do Sirtut. Either way, the point is, Rabbi Yosef is quoting many more words than that in the Pasuk, because he's quoting, Vayitnu Ayelad Vazoinav Ayalda, which is seven words, and he didn't do Sirtut. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, so you see, Rabbi Yosef is not necessarily somebody that you can rely on in matters of halacha. It's an interesting idea, by the way. Rabbi David Povarsky, the famous Rosh Hashiva of Ponovich a couple of decades ago, he explained that when you're writing two words, one next to another, Rabbi Yitzchok figures two words, you can easily see whether one is lined up with the other, but once you have three, you might be, it's a little bit off, the second one is a little bit off compared to the first one, and therefore you won't realize, and then when you write the third one, then you'll find out it's not a straight line anymore. Whereas the price is taking the view that it's easy enough to make sure that three of them are lined up without Sirtut, but four of them, it's going to be too hard to do that. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yosef is saying, you see, Rabbi Yosef didn't know that halacha, so how can you rely on him in matters of in other matters of halacha? So the Gemara answers back, Omalei Abaya, so Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Otu kodala yoda ha, Rabbi Yitzchak, lav gavur rabahu. Do you think that anybody who doesn't know this particular din that Rabbi Yitzchak said is not considered a great person? That you should say, therefore, you can't rely on him in other matters of halacha? By the way, Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yitzchak is arguing on the Braisa. Rabbi Yitzchak is an Amora. How can he argue on a Braisa? Evidently, he knew that the Braisa is written mistakenly, and therefore he felt free to disagree with it. That's why also Abaya is mentioning Rabbi Yitzchak rather than the Braisa. Whatever, the point is, Bishlema Milsit Italia Basvara, Abaya says it's one thing you can understand when it comes to something that depends on Svara. Lachaye, fine, then if he doesn't know a Svara, then it's true, if there's not an Adam Gadol. Ha, but over here we're talking about Gemarahi. We're talking about something that the Kabbalah, it's not something based on Svara, it's something that you'd learn from your Rebbeim. Or Gemara, Lashmirle, he poshit never heard of this particular din. So therefore, so you can't hold that against him and say that because of that you shouldn't consider him to be an Adam Gadol. And then we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and we'll talk about Abaya is going to bring another proof to the contrary that Rabbi Yosef really is an Adam Gadol, and that's going to get us into a whole piece of Agadza. So we'll continue that tomorrow, Bez Hashem.